Good morning. We're going to continue today the sugya of Gneivas Das. To briefly recap some of the things that we've learned last week, we learned that when you're inviting someone or offering to give a present, we discussed three different levels. In a case where you're inviting someone to a simcha, you're offering to give them a present, and you're sincere, you really want them to accept the present, you really want them to participate in the simcha. So even though you may know that he's going to refuse, you know he has a conflict in his schedule, but still, and since you're sincere, you really want him to accept the offer, there's nothing wrong with inviting him again, nudging him, because it's not Gneivas Das. You taka mean it, you're sincere, you want him to come, and that's certainly mutter. The other extreme was in a case where you're offering someone a drink, you're offering something, some oil. And there, not only do you know that he won't accept, but the barrel that you're offering him is empty. So in that case, since the offer is not sincere, you're making the offer only because you know he will not accept. And if he does accept, you're in big trouble because he's going to catch you. So in that case, making any offer is going to be usur, it's Gneivas Das. He thinks you're his friend. He thinks that you care about him. You're making this offer. And in reality, it's nothing. It's a fake. The middle level, which is probably the most common, is when you make an offer, you invite him to the wedding. If he accepts, then you're going to let him come. You're not going to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have to rescind the invitation." The offer is real, but you're making the offer only because you know he's not going to accept. If you thought he would accept, you would not make that offer. So there, the Gemara in Chulin says it is Gneivas Das. However, the Achronim point out that it's Gneivas Das to nudge the person, to ask again and again and again, because then you're giving the impression that you really want him to be there. However, to ask once or twice, there the place can say that that's mutter, that's not Gneivas Das. And the way the Sma explains is that if you're in a situation where it's just, you know, polite or common manners to invite someone, you're eating something, it's not polite to eat it in front of him without offering. So offering once or twice is fine. It's not Gneivas Das. It's just avoiding a bazillion. However, going over the top, pushing, or if you're extending the invitation in a case where you don't need to, so there, according to the Sma, that would be Gneivas Das, even to do it once or twice. Now, in any of the cases, even where it is Gneivas Das, the Gemara in Chulin says, if it's Mishum Kvoidoi, if you're doing it not in order to pretend that you're this person's friend, not because you want the person to reciprocate, you're doing it because of his kavod. There are other people in the room, and to show that he's a mechubedik person, you are extending this invitation, you're making this offer. So that would not be Gneivas Das. It's being done Mishum Kvoidoi. We discussed last week that the Gedorim of Mishum Kvoidoi, but one thing I'd like to add is, when Gershom is mashma, that it is only mutter Mishum Kvoidoi when you making a real offer is not an option. You know, as you're with the Avil, you have an empty barrel. So because you do not have anything real to offer him, instead you offer him the empty barrel. Normally it would be Gneivas Das. If it's done Mishum Kvoidoi, because there are people there, and you want to treat him in a mechubadik way, that's mutter. However, if you have the ability to make a real offer, then Mishum Kvoidoi is not a heter to make a fake offer or to be going to Das. It's only when there is no other way to give him the cover that he deserves, then this would not be considered Gneivas Das, and this would be okay. And the next discussion, the next example in the Gemara was the story with Mar Zutra and Rav and Rav Safra, where Mar Zutra was... I don't think so. I think in either case, if you're inviting him, you want him to come, that's certainly fine. If you don't want him to come, and if he says yes, you're going to rescind the invitation, that would always be usur. In a case where you're really only inviting him because you don't expect him to come, there the sma seems to say that it's fine because you're not nudging him. But as we discussed last week, if the reason why it's mutter is to avoid a bazillion, then that would apply if you're eating something in front of someone. So there, munching away without having the courtesy of saying, "Would you like a bite?" That's a bazillion. So there, even an insincere offer is okay. On the other hand, sending an invitation when there's really no reason, it's not a bazillion not to invite someone to your wedding, there, this heter should not apply. Unless the person happens to be your brother-in-law. In that case, even though you're not sincere about the offer, since by not sending an invitation, it's a bazillion, it's a slap in the face, that would be mutter, even though you're only sending the invitation with the expectation or the hope that he does not show up. Now, the next example was where Mazutra was coming towards the town. He bumped into Rava and Rav Safra, and he presumed that they were coming to greet him. He thanked them profusely for coming all the way out. Rav Safra said, listen, we didn't tell you the truth. We weren't coming to greet you. Had we known you were coming, we would have come even further to greet you. But he made it clear that we were not coming out to greet you because he did not want to be going to Das. Rava told Rav Safra that you should not have said anything. Because the issue of Ganevas Das is when you do something to fool someone. When Iudata and Avshay, since Mar Zutra jumped to conclusions, no one did anything to fool him. He just immediately assumed they were coming to greet him. There, Zakt Rava, that is not Ganevas Das. You have no obligation to go ahead and correct people's misimpressions. The issue is only you cannot cause them to make this mistake. But if they make it on their own, you don't have to go ahead and burst their bubble. You can let them you can let them live in their dream and let them assume that you're doing it in their covet. Now the Rishonim have two different pshatim in this Gemara. The Rosh explains that really Mazutra was heading towards the city, and he saw Rava coming towards him. Now Rava had no way of knowing that Mazutra was heading towards the city. And therefore Mazutra had no reason to jump to conclusions and think they were coming to greet him. It was an unreasonable conclusion. And therefore, Zakt the Rosh, since he jumped to his own conclusion, it wasn't warranted by the facts, therefore, you just let him be, you don't have to correct him. But the Rosh is mashma, that if the conclusion that he jumps to is reasonable, then that would be Ganevas Das, and you would have to correct that. The Ran says a bit of a different shot. The Ran says that the reason why you don't have to correct him here is... Excuse me? So the Gemara with Rava, the Gemara in Chulin is mashma, that even if he'll have a level of Chalishas Hadas, you still have to correct him. Now obviously, you have to say it in a way, you can't be Mavayish and Barabim, and you have to do it in a way that gently. But if the fact that before now he thought you were his best friend, and now the harsh reality that you're not quite as friendly as he'll know that. That itself seems to be, there seems to be a chiyuv to do so. Because Adrabah, Rava's response was, it's not Ganevas Das, and therefore you shouldn't have told him. It's mashma, that if it was Ganevas Das, he agreed to Rav Safra that you had to say something. Now, what Rav Safra told him was, we didn't know you were coming. Had we known, we would have gone further. So he did it in a way that to minimize the pain, and certainly can't be Mavayish and Baravim, but simply to tell him, by the way, don't think I'm such a close friend, or in a diplomatic way, there seems to be a chiyuv to do. Oh, beautiful. So that tells you, what you're saying is, what we said earlier is, if you send an invitation, so even if the invitation is not real, if you really wanted the person to come, even though you know he won't come, there's nothing wrong with inviting him. So in this case also, Rav Safra very clearly said, had we known you were coming, we would have come even further to greet you. So if he's willing to do it anyway, why is it Ganevas Das? The fact that he didn't know, why does he have to go ahead and tell them? So Tosis is a basic difference. If you go ahead and you do something for someone, like in the other case, you opened a barrel for someone. You opened a fresh barrel. So even though this barrel, you're going to sell it tomorrow, you're not losing any money. If you're such a good friend that even if it would cause you a loss, you'd still open that barrel, you don't have to say anything. Because it's not Ganevas Das. Your friendship, your level is something which you would do it anyway. You did this for him, you are opening the barrel, and that's fine. In this case, Zok Tosfos, what did you do? What did Rava do for Mazutra? In this case, he did absolutely nothing. He was traveling for his own sake. Mazutra thought he did something. So in this case, where the recipient thought you did something and you did absolutely nothing, the fact that had you known you would have done it is not hetzer. Because he thinks you did something and you did absolutely nothing. There, the fact that you would have done it is not a hetzer. It's only in the case of Amud Aleph, where you opened a barrel for him, you're giving him fresh wine. The only thing is, he thought that there was a tremendous loss. You're going to have to throw the rest of the barrel out. Here, that's not the case. You won't have a loss. So then, as long as you would have done it either way, so then it's not Gnevus Das. But if you did nothing, there would be Gnevus Das, even if you would have done it had you known. So if he travels for a completely different purpose, and once he's there, he just pops in, then he's not, but on the other hand, if he's, let's say he has a few things, or he's traveling partially for you and partially for someone else, he's doing something for you as well, then enachami. Okay, so go ahead. So the Ran has a little bit of a different shot. The Ran says the reason why there's no Gnevus Das here is that Ron's chiddush is Gnevus Das is only when you actually do something to fool him. The case of in the Gemara with the barrel, you took the barrel in front of him and you made a big show. You opened the barrel, so you're fooling him. He thinks you're opening a fresh barrel specially for him. He doesn't realize that you really sold it and you have someone else coming to pick up the rest of it in the next day. So when you're doing an action specifically to fool him, that is Gnevus Das. However, Zakhtaran, if you're just walking along your merry way, you have no intention of fooling him, and then the person fools himself, he sees you and thinks he's coming for you, since you didn't do anything to further that misperception, there the Ran says there will be no Isser Gnevus Das.
So in the case of the barrel, it shouldn't have been a problem.
The Ran says it depends. If you went ahead and he says the case is you brought the barrel in front of him and you make a big show, you open it in front of him. So doing that, showing him you're opening the barrel, is giving the false impression that you're doing it only for his kavod. So that would be aser. Ma'ashegin, he says, if you are sitting there at home, you open a barrel, and your friend happens to walk in at the same time and immediately jump to, you're doing it for me. There the Ran says very specifically that it's mutter. So for example, let's say you are a person, you take your meal yourself very seriously, you're always wearing a suit and a tie, even in your house, when you sit down for a meal, you make sure your wife serves you on China, 7-course dinner every night. One day, an old friend of yours from yeshiva comes to town, and he stops by for supper. He walks in, he sees the table's all set, you're wearing your Shabbos begadim, and he gives you this big shkriya, wow, I knew I was chashuv, but it's tremendous hakaras hatov. So according to the Rosh, that would be Gnevus Das. Because this friend's conclusion is very logical. You walk into someone's house for a meal, and he's all dressed up, and on a Tuesday night, there's a formal dinner. He thinks it's for him. So it's definitely a logical conclusion, and that would be Gnevus Das. According to the Ran, perhaps not. According to the Ran, if every night you have the same kind of meal, and you always walk around like this, you haven't done anything to act further this misperception. You haven't done anything specifically to fool him. And according to the Ran, perhaps it would not be Gnevus Das.
Well,
now again, you have to know, the Amshar Shleime seems to say that it's not a machlokes. Everyone really agrees to the Ran, so it's, you know, neither the Rosh nor the Ran really discuss what they would hold in the other case.
So let's say it wasn't Gnevus Das, but now you know, if you tell that it wasn't, he's going to feel hurt, you know? So just leave it that way. You know?
Correct. So that's the Gemara discusses. You should not say, by the way, you should know, you're really a low life. I would do nothing for you. What you can tell the person is that I'm so happy to see you, and I'm so glad, you know, I happen to be a very, you know, you can mention I'm a very formal person. This is how I eat dinner, and I'm so glad you can enjoy it.
You have to tell.
The Gemara in Chulin says, the Rav Safra told, you know, Rav Sutra thought they were coming out and to greet him. Rav Safra said, I have to be honest with him. Now, he said it in a very nice way. He said, I didn't come out to greet you. Had I known you were coming, I would have come even further, which, again, you can only say if that's actually true. But he said it, and he said it in a nice way. But Alts Gnevus Das, he doesn't want him walking around with this misperception that he traveled hours or miles, whatever it was, for his honor when it simply wasn't true. Now, a common example of this is, I think we mentioned this last week, is that if you're invited to a chasana out of town, you have absolutely no intention of going. You're not that friendly with that person. But, you know, Baruch Hashem, it works out. There you happen to have a meeting or another simcha in the family in that same town the same evening. So you stop in at the other person's chasana. Now he sees you. He's going to assume you traveled all the way from Muncie to his chasana. It'll be a tremendous hachzokas toivo. He's going to appreciate and be touched by how far you went to share in his simcha. Reality was you traveled approximately one block. So that would be a case of Gneivas Das. And in this case, you'd have a chiyuv to be medir him. You'd have to tell him, I'm so happy it worked out that I had another simcha here. But if you don't, he's going to be machzik tayv v'chinam. He's going to think you traveled only for him. That would be a case of Gneivas Das. Now, we, as we pointed out, you have to know each case. You have to deal with each case. But if the chasana, let's say, is in New York, and people regularly travel to New York for many reasons. So in that case, perhaps you can argue it's iudata enafshei. Mechiteza, he has the right to assume you traveled only for him. Any given day, there are many people traveling to New York, shopping, business, other chasanas, whatever that may be. So again, you have to know the case, but it's possible then he had no right to jump to the conclusion you were coming only for him. And if that's true, if that's an unwarranted conclusion, then according to the Rosh, there would not be an Isser Gneivas Das. However, if the simcha was somewhere where it's uncommon for people to travel, there even the Rosh would agree, even though you didn't say anything, that would be a case of Gneivas Das, and you'd have to set the record straight. Now another fact you may be able to take into account is that if you're really not friendly with a person, there already it could be that he should realize from the relationship, perhaps from the fact you didn't bother sending back a return card. Then already that's an indication that you're not there only for him. So in such case, also again, perhaps there's room lahakel. But in a case where it's clearly the logical assumption is he's coming for you, and that's not the case, that would be Gneivas Das.
The case of the Gemara where he said that
correct. So we do find that Mishum Kvoidoi, that there is a heter of Gneivas Das when it's being done Mishum Kvoidoi. And if it's going to be a bizoyin to him, there you see, to avoid a bizoyin, you can be going of his Das. However, if you can do it in a way where it's not a bizoyin, you're just sort of bursting his bubble. He thinks you're this great friend, and now what you're going to do is you're going to just tell him, listen, I like you, wonderful person. I'm very happy it worked out that I had two chasanas at the same night. So it's not a bizoyin. But what's happening is he will not think you're his closest friend, which is actually the truth. What? Okay, so I can hear. Maybe wait till after the chasana to burst the bubble. Could be there's a heter to wait a little bit. I don't know. So you don't find such a chiluk. The point is you're being goyin of his das. You're fooling him into be makar toyev to you, which is not true. Now again, don't get me wrong. A person has to be worried about other people's feelings. And you, Taka, should work on yourself that if it means so much to him, you should, Taka, travel to that city in order to dance at his chasana. But to go ahead and you're not willing to be, his feelings, count only so much. You're not willing to actually travel for him. But now to be goyin of his das, you now want to be machmer on his feelings. That already is not so possible. But again, Mishum Kvoy, there is a heter Mishum Kvoydoy. If it's going to be a bizoyin to him, certainly going to be usur to go ahead and to tell him an adarabah. To avoid embarrassing him, you're allowed to be goyin of das even proactively. I'm going to tell you that he's makar toyev to you. Now he thinks you've done something for him when you really haven't. Now, I don't believe you need... I don't think so. I think if you're maksav toyev, even if you do it anonymously, you pretend you're giving... The very fact that you're being goyin of his das, the point is not you're going to get something in return, you're stealing that thing. We're not talking about the gneivas moment of the actual benefit. We're talking about gneivas das, that you are fooling him into thinking you're his friend and he's going to be maksav toyev to you. If a person's dying, I think you'd have the same issue of gneivas das. So if one person is going to die, so I'd be going to die back.
How about if the feeling doesn't match the mice? Let's say you, Taka, really are very close to him, feel very close to him. For technical reasons, you may have not made the trip, maybe because you had five classes that week, you're spent. And the mice have worked out, they were able to go because you had something else.
I don't think that's a problem because he doesn't know you have the other five chasanas. Now, as if the situation would have been, had you had a normal day, you would have come. It happens to be you have five other chasanas, so you wouldn't have come. Now, because things worked out, you were able to come. He doesn't know the background. He knows one thing, you came, and Yutaka would have come. So I don't think that would be Gneivas Das.
What if you have a situation where you have two chasanas, where you wouldn't have gone to either one by
Either one. So that, okay, then arguably, if you're coming for both of them. If Yitaka wouldn't have done it, and he's going to presume that and he has the right to assume you're coming only for him and not for somebody else, that's very likely that would be Gnevis Das.
How does that work?
You have to use a little bit of tact. Every case will be different. But again, something along the lines. I'm so happy I was able to come. You know, I had two friends. I was able to be at both of their chasanas this evening. You know, you'll have to use your judgment, your discretion. If it's going to be a bazillion to him, you can't do it. But if there's a way to let him know in a tactful way that's not a bazillion, but it's just honest. You're being honest. I'm very happy I was able to come. It was a 20-minute drive, not a 3-hour drive. So then that would be a person's chiv.
Afterwards,
if you
say it later, then you embarrass it.
If it's a bazaar, it's usur. Even if you won't be able to say it later, to a bazaar, you're not allowed to be going later. If mishum kvoido is a heter. So if there are people around that it will be a bazaar, you can't say it. Yeah. You know, and if there's no opportunity, even if you won't be able to say it later, there's no chiyuv if there will be a bazaar. Okay, so that would be a similar. If the Baal Simcha thinks that you're coming for him, which is I think a logical assumption. Wait a second. He enjoys that you're there. He's machzik toiva. He thinks you came for him. So that's the same way if you're coming because you have a meeting next door. So if you're coming, if your meeting happens to be in the chassid hall, it's the same thing. So I think that would be the same gnevis das. You are showing up to his wedding is a maisa that's designed. When a person walks into a wedding hall, he's making a statement: I am coming to share your simcha. That's very different. The Ron's case is, I'm opening a bottle of wine for myself. You walk in, you think, oh, you're doing it for me. So there you haven't done anything. What you're doing is not for him, it's for yourself. And he sort of jumps to the conclusion that it's bishvili nivra ha'olam. In your case, when I walk into a chasana hall, I'm walking in, I'm demonstrating an act that demonstrates I'm giving you kavod, I'm coming to share in your simcha. Now, if I have another agenda involved, and I'm only coming because I want to meet with someone else or because of some other reason, that's this hachzakas toiv v'chinam.
If you go for 5 minutes, the guy also knows he doesn't see you.
That's true. If you walk in and out, enachami. If you walk in and just leave a few minutes later, enachami. I think anyone who's ever been to a chasana knows that's iu data and afshei. No, if you're making a wedding in an out of town place and the person shows up, it is the logical assumption is he came for this wedding. That's what I told you. If it's in New York, if it's in a case where people are constantly going anyway, then perhaps not. But if you're making a chasana in some funny place and he's there, then the logical assumption is he came for your chasana. Now, one last case of these types of gnevis das is the Mishnah and Dmai. They're different pshatim, but many learn the Mishnah that if a person has meiser, he has meiser ani, and he wants to give it, he meets an old friend, he knows he's struggling for parnasa, he invites him to his house, he graciously serves him a meal, and what he doesn't bother telling him is that he was serving him meiser ani. So here the Mishnah, according to many pshatim, says this is gnevis das. Because the person, when he's invited in, feels, or he's under the impression you're being gracious and you're being generous with your food. Reality, it's meiser ani, which you really don't have much use for anyway. You have to give it away to an ani. So there, in that case, that would be gnevis das. But that's true. But there's a very big difference between he thinks you're giving him money that, you know, your own stake. Really, it's not yours. It's true you could give it to another ani. So, but that is a much less of a hachzakas taiva. What you're doing, what he thinks you're doing, much more than you really are. He thinks you're. So yeah, what the Mishnah says is you have to miodia him. You do have to tell him. Now in a case where it'll be a bezoyin to him, you'll have the heter mishum kvoida, but that's when it's a bezoyin. Most cases, the reason why you don't want to tell him is not you're worried about him. He's an ani. He spends his days knocking on doors, collecting. So it's not his bezoyin. You want to put on this show how you're being generous for him. That is going to be achzakas toivah chinam, and that's going to be also. No, because that's yudat anafshei. Most of the stock of money that people is giving out is ma'aser money. Ma'aser ein kein, if someone knocks on your door, you invite them for Shabbos for a meal, the presumption is you're giving them your own food. You're not giving them giving them stock of funds. What, you're giving your ma'aser money to a guy? That we discussed. And if das does apply to a guy, we said that they're... You know, there are different shitas about in which cases, but the pashup shot, what the Marin could, in the makar of this, the Mishnah, is talking about from a guy. There are some cases daraisa, some cases darabanon, that we discussed in the first year, but the simple answer is yes, it does apply to a guy as well. Yeah, he thinks you're giving your own food, and really you're not. Now, there is a Maram Shik that has a tremendous chiddush. He says this halacha is only, let me just. This can come up very, very commonly. If you have a person who's struggling, people go ahead and they put together money, let's say, for a chasana. So instead of going over to him and say, here's tzedaka, we collected some meiser for you, what they'll do is they'll give it to a friend who's a little bit more baal batish, and he will go over and just give the person a very nice chasana present. Now what's happening? The recipient thinks, wow, this person's such a close friend of mine, he gave me this huge wedding gift. Reality, it wasn't a wedding gift. Reality, he was giving away other people's ma'aser money. So this sounds very much like this Mishnah. Now, if it's a case where it's a bezoyin to him, the person does not collect tzedakah, he doesn't take tzedakah, and there's a way of giving it to him, you know, covered. So we saw, to avoid a bezoyin, you're allowed to be goyin of das. But if it's not his bezoyin, he goes around collecting tzedakah. He's not, you know, he's past that. He's not embarrassed. You're doing it because it's just... You know, I mean, it's just more comfortable for you. And this way, Adarabi, he's going to think you're a very generous and very, very close friend. And that would be a case of Gnevas Das.
Would that be true for an organization, let's say, give it to the money to a rabbi, doing it to the school? So the school is an institution, it's not a person. So if you're giving money to the school, and the school is then giving a bonus, whatever you want to call it, to the rabbi, is that
I don't think so. I think when a rabbi gets a bonus from the school, he understands the school collected money for rebellion, for tzedakah, for whatever it is, and that's what they were giving out. So that would be fine.
If someone's having a chasana, and you go to the hall, and you say, here's $5,000, tell them that this day, when it's a special.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be not successful to the hall.
So it depends what happens. If the hall goes ahead and says, you know what, for you, you know, me and you are old friends, I'll give you a break. That is a question of hachzakas toivah, and unless you have the heter of bezoyin and kavod, that would be awesome. On the other hand, the whole says we have, you know, on Tuesday, you know, April 14th, we have a special. So I don't think you're machzik toivah to the whole. You say Baruch Hashem, it worked out nicely, and you move on. But if they're going to do it in a way where now they're getting credit for this for this thing, that would be a serious question of Gnevas Das. Now, there's a Maram Sheikh that has a tremendous chiddush. He says the isser is only when you're inviting someone to your house. There, where he's eating in your house, where the assumption is you're giving your own food, there the isser would apply. However, if a person is an ani and you're sending him money, he says there's no Gnevas Das. I'm not sure if his point is that the ani has to always be choshish. Perhaps it's stuck in money or what the cheshbon is. But in those cases, he says the isser Gnevas Das would not apply. Now, an interesting story, when we were learning Hilchus Tzedakah, so I spoke to a number of Gabbayim, just talking a little bit about how people, you know, how the money is collected, how it's given out. And one of the Gabbayim Tzedakah here in Munzi told me a beautiful story, how there was a very wealthy person who was Yared Min Chosav, he was struggling, his house was in foreclosure, his utilities were off at different times. But it came close to Purim. And there was a person in the neighborhood who knew a little bit of what was going on, although it was a very well-kept secret. So what he did is, this person saved up the entire year. He didn't give any tzedakah. And a week before Purim, he goes over to the gevir, or the ex-gevir, and tells him, listen, you know, I have a few dollars of ma'aser money. Now, I don't really know too much about tzedakah and organizations. I'm really not, you know, really not connected. So do me a favor. I'm going to give you the money, and you give it out. You know the maestas, you know the players, and I'm trust you. You're going to make sure it goes to the right place. So that you put him. People are knocking on the gavir's door. He's giving out money right and left. And very beautiful story. This way, it preserves the gavir's dignity. He was able to feel good about himself, and no one found out that how much he was struggling. So the question is that an Isser Ganeves Das? People are on the gavir. He's going ahead, giving out money, pretending he's being generous and nice and giving out money to people. Reality, it's someone else's money.
What? He could take it himself.
Okay, good. It's like this. What? Well, they're gonna be very machzor to you for him. This moiser that comes to him and gets a $3,000 check, then next time he wants to get his kid in the school or he has a problem, they're gonna be machzor to you for him. Reality is, I don't. What? But if you would have to tell him if he calls, then even before he calls, the fact that machzor to you should be a problem. Oh, so very good. So I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's a problem for similar to what you're saying, and that is when people are going around collecting. I think most aniyim or moistus know that many gerim they give out ma'aser, right? Now, what is ma'aser? Ma'aser means a person has a chiv to give a certain amount of tzedaka. He has the right to choose which tzedaka he gives. He can give it to this person. He has a tayvus hana, but he's going to give it to a different tzedaka. He's going to give it to the tzedaka of his choice. So when a person, when a gevir gives out tzedakah, what's the hachzakas taiva there? The hachzakas taiva is, we know you have a certain amount of money you put aside for tzedakah or for ma'aser. The fact that you're making the donation to me, I have hakaras hatov. Now if that's the pshat in hakaras hatov, in this case, what happened over here is, this is taka ma'aser money. It was ma'aser money not earned by this gevir, it was earned by someone else. That person gave this gevir the right to give it to who he wanted to. He gave away this ability to channel it. Once he gave that away, once the Tevas Hanob, now the Tevas Hanob belongs to the Gevir. So now that he chose to give it to this organization, there are Karas HaToy that you had the Tevas Hanob, you could have given it to anyone, you gave it to me, they talk a half, oh, Mera Karas HaToy. So since he got the Tevas Hanob, he had the right to give it who he want, and that's what the Chazakas Tevas is always for. There, that would be fine. It's only the case in the Mishnah where the guest thinks you're giving your own food, and really you're giving Meiser money. That's a problem. But if he knows it's Meiser and he just doesn't know whether it was your Meiser or someone else gave you the Meiser to give out, what difference does it make? He doesn't care who earned it. He cares about the fact that you have that Meiser. You're the one that the Tevas Hanoah. You can channel it as you see fit. And therefore, I think in that case, it's motzu l'chachila. There's bichlal, no problem whatsoever. Okay, now until now, we were discussing the Sugyu in Cholin, which dealt with Gneva's Das in the context of two friends, relationships, dealing with people, Beinodim L'chaveri. The second Sugyu of Gneva's Das is a Sugyu in Bava Metzia, and this is in Chosh Mishpat, but it's also in Simon Reish Rav Ches. And there we're going to discuss different types of marketing when you're selling goods. What you have is what your obligations as far as disclosure or doing things to sort of make your goods seem better than they really are. The Mishnah goes through many different cases. The cases all seem to be relatively straightforward and pretty pasha. However, as we'll see, each of the cases has its own chiddush, and we'll go through them one by one. So we're going to follow the Seder of Shulchan Aruch, and you have it in the Maram Koymis booklets in Siman Reish Chav Ches. We'll start with Sif Ches. And here the Mechaber writes, Lo yimkor lo yarv shel behema mesa, beches kashi hishkuta. You cannot sell the skin, the leather, from an animal that died, beches kashi hishkuta, and represent that the animal was actually shechted. Now the Gemara, and the Gemara explains, there are two, the Gemara explains, that an animal that dies on its own, that wasn't shechted, there are two issues with. The leather is not as strong. Apparently, a shchuta is usually a better quality animal as opposed to if it just died on its own. And there also is, it's a sakana. If an animal dies, it may have been bitten by a snake, there may be some danger using the leather, using the skin, And because there's a chashash sakana, so therefore you're not allowed to mislabel it, you're not allowed to sell it as a shkuta, when in fact it really is an avela. Now, what this is, what's mashma from here, is that what happens if you want to sell something, and you want to mislabel it, but there's absolutely no difference to the buyer. Let's say a person comes in, he heard that everything made in China is high quality. Now you have a suit, it's not made in China, it's made in Italy. Everyone knows an Italian suit is going to be better than a Chinese suit. This person comes in, I don't know where he got it, but he comes in thinking China is, you want things from China, that's where to get quality merchandise. So the person wants to go to the back, take a made in China sticker, and cover over the made in Italy sticker. Is that Geneva's Das or not? So you're mislabeling it, certainly not accurate, but you're mislabeling it in a way where there's no loss, there's no hefset to the person. So, what? You're not getting what you want. It's very good. It's like this. If a person comes in and says, I'm only buying something made in China, so then the halacha is you can make a tanai. If your buyer makes a condition, he can say, I only want something that's purple, I only want something that's green, I only want something that's ugly, I only want something. Any tanai that you make, you certainly have the right to make such a tanai. So if you do it in such a way, I agree with you. There, it's not a question of Geneva's Das, it's a question of Geneva's Mammon. He wants one thing, you're giving him something else. The question is, when he doesn't, it doesn't rise to that level. Let's say you know him already. You know he likes Chinese. Now, he walks into the store, and you just put a sticker made in China. There's no tanai, there's no umdunai. It doesn't rise to the level where he made a condition. But you're fooling him. Had he known it was made in Italy, he perhaps would not want to buy it. Now, this halacha, it says, you're not allowed to sell a nevelo becheska shkuta because it's not as strong or because it has its issues. What it's a bit mashma is if there's absolutely no difference between the two, it sounds like there will be no issur geneva's das. It's sheker, it's not true, but this chumra of geneva's das, it's mashma from this halacha, would not apply. There has to be some sort of way in which he's losing, which he's getting an inferior quality or something weaker, something schwacher. But if it's completely the equivalent, or kolshkein, if it's better, there is a bit of a mashmayus over here that there would not be an issur geneva's das. Now, the Gros Moshe has a case, he actually is medayik, he wants to know, you're not allowed to sell a nevelu becheska shruta, because one of the reasons is because of a sakana. For Rav Moshe, what's the issur? The issur is you're not allowed to mislabel it. Let's say you tell him, this is really a nevelu. There it sounds like that you're allowed to sell it. Rav Moshe, what do you mean? If it's dangerous to the buyer, you're going to sell him something that's going to kill him, even if you disclose it, it's still awesome. So Zogar Moshe makes a beautiful cheshbon. He says the case is that the only time there's a sakana, he says, is when an animal dies, it may have been bitten by a snake. So there, it's a nevela, it died on its own, and there's a cheshav sakana. He said, what happens if you know that it died on its own? It's not a shkuta. But you know it died of natural causes. It wasn't because, a snake is also natural. But you know it died in a way where there's no sakana. Now, if you tell the buyer that it died naturally, but don't worry, there were no snakes involved, the buyer's not going to believe you. And Rav Moshe suggests that the buyer's not allowed to believe you. You don't have nemonus. He says, chashas sakana, he's not allowed to believe you. So instead of telling him it died, but it died natural death, instead you tell him, I shechted it. You say you shechted it, the person's going to believe you. Zucker of Moshe, that's what the case is talking about. The case is it died, but you know there's no sakana. But if you told him that, he's not going to believe you, he's not going to buy it. So instead you told him it's a shkuta, and because of that, he's going to buy it. Zogar Moshe, that's going to be Geneva's Das. What? You have to look. What he says is a chashav sakana, and a moicher, he says, is not neman to because people... What? Good. You have to look at the truth inside. It's a chiddush, but he says that the buyer should not believe the seller because it's the type of thing that people very commonly use their hasharas adas and make mistakes. They'll just assume it's probably not a snake. He says, Masha Egan, if you say it's shkuta, you have the right to trust the person, he is not lying through his teeth. Okay, that's his chiddush. Rav Moshe says that would be an isser, even though, he says that it would be usser, it would be Geneva's Das, even though you know it's really not a sakana, you know there's nothing wrong with him buying it, since he doesn't want a nevela, because if it's a nevela, he doesn't want to trust you, the very fact that you're forcing him to trust you by lying to him, even though he won't lose from it, Rav Moshe says that would be Geneva's Das. Good, but sheker is less chomer than gneivas das. Sheker, Rav Moshe is saying that he's going with it, the iser darayis al kopanim is in bezdin. Gneivas das is more chomer. So Rav Moshe's chiddush is that in this case, even though there's no real practical difference, but since he shouldn't trust you and you're forcing him to trust you, he says that would be gneivas das. So here already, I mean, this is a little bit of a middle case where there's no practical difference. The buyer, at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong. There's no danger involved. But since you're forcing him to trust you and he would not buy it otherwise, there Rav Moshe suggests there would be gneivas das. So you could bring a raya, and I've seen those that bring rayas from Rav Moshe, the main China would also be usher, because you're fooling him, even though there's no real difference at the end of the day. But since he had he known the truth, he would not want to buy it because he wouldn't trust you, or because he doesn't trust, you know, factories in Italy, that would be usher. It's not a real raya, because in that case, al pi halacha, you're not supposed to trust the person. So if he knew it was a nevela, al pi halacha, he shouldn't be buying it. So there are that much you see that he holds his gneivas das. In a case where in halacha there's no difference, I don't think we have a raya brewer from the Igros Moshe. That's true, but people are entitled to make their own mistakes. The point is, he says, I only want to buy it if it has and if it meets these criteria. Now, there's one last case, which is a Peladika Chiddush. The Darke Tshuva brings down that there was a guy who wanted to buy meat, and he wanted to buy only halal meat. He wanted shchuta, not nevela. So the Yosef has a Peladika Psa. He says that since you know halal meat, you know, is not going to make any difference to him. When this Arab dies, it's not going to get Gan Eden any faster, whether he has the halal meat, doesn't have the halal meat. Devar Yosef says there's no Isser Gnevis Das, because there's absolutely no nafkamina. Now the Beis Ephraim argues, and the truth is, the reason why it's a Peladik Psak is that this is a case where Lechori doesn't umduna. Regardless of the fact that his Peda may be based on a mistake. But Hey Yosef, there's an umdun, he says, clearly I only eat this kind of meat. So lechor, it's loygora than an umdeno or a tenai, where he's saying very clearly, if it's not halal, I don't want to buy it. So in such a case, forget about the iser gnevis das. Lechor, that would be an iser of gnevis mammon and mekav tois, because it's very clear he only wants to buy it if it meets these criteria. It doesn't matter. We're not in a position to say whether this criteria makes sense or not. He's saying this is what I want to buy. This is what I don't want to buy. And therefore, according to the base of Ephraim. And I think the Pashat Halacha would be is that it would be Osir, and he would have the right to demand a refund.
A doctor that has a very stubborn patient doesn't want to take a medication that's really prescription. If you lie and say it's something else, but I'm asking if they even know it's...
That's a separate issue. If he's endangering his life by not taking medication, the Halacha is you can be kaifa a person in many cases to... You have to know what the level is. Stam Gnevis Das is Osir. But in a case where there's halacha where you can be kaifa a person to do something, or pidin he's mechuyev to take this medication, so in the same way you can be kaifa him, Bezdin in theory has the right to go ahead, hold his mouth open and force him to take the medication, this could be another way of doing kfiya. But in the absence of that, if you don't have the right to do kfiya, then pashas gnevas das would be asur, unless you go through cheshbonos of mishum kvoida, that you medame it to mishum kvoida. But again, it's something which, if it comes up, ask a shayla. So in a case where the person said, I don't want to buy it if it's made in Italy, so that we pointed out. That's a mekach tois, and that's a question of gnevis mamon, because mekach is chaser. But very often it will not rise to that level. He didn't make a tenai. It's not so clear that he would back out of the deal. It's just a question of you're trying to head off any issue, and you know he has confidence in Chinese suits, and he's not going to ask you any questions, so you slap on the sticker. So there, it's not Gneva's moment. It's a question of Gneva's das. And we run into this question. In a case where it's Taka, he's not losing out anything. And if you would tell him made in Italy, what would he do? He'd go next door and buy a suit made in China and get lower quality for a higher price. So there we have this question. Is it Gneva's das or not? Possibly Sheker. Yeah, possibly Sheker. Okay, hold on. Just two quick public service announcements. First of all, on Tuesday evening at 9:00, there is Ephraim Waxman is going to be giving a shiur here in the Beis Medrash. Everyone's encouraged to come. Now, second of all, next week is Lag BaOmer. We probably will have the shiur regular time. However, if anyone has any problems with scheduling, I know Yeshiva Spring Valley has a half, I think dismissal is 11 o'clock. If anyone has any problems with scheduling, please email Aaron Subar and we'll take it into account and let everyone know the schedule.